Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 13. And these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Last Sunday, our brother David Rasmussen preached a wonderful sermon titled, Both Lord and Christ. Thank you for that, brother. And I urge you to watch it on YouTube or Facebook or listen to it on sermon audio if you missed it. It's called Both Lord and Christ. The week before, I had stepped out of John's Gospel to preach on the subject of strangers and pilgrims. The thing that prompted me was more and more in this world, in this day and age that we live, more and more, I am feeling like a stranger here. More and more. Okay? And that's what prompted this sermon in my mind. That sermon 2 weeks ago was more or less an introduction to what I want to preach today. And I struggled today to get everything into the sermon, and I struggled with whether to break it into two or try to stuff it all into one. And let's just say I may continue this thought one more week. We'll see how the Lord leads. I spoke 2 weeks ago briefly on the trial of the faith of many that are mentioned in Hebrews 11. And the one trial in particular being that many of them died without seeing the promises of God fulfilled. And yet we're told that they died in faith. Even though many of them did not see the promises of God fulfilled, they died in faith. Do you want to know what's just as important as starting the journey of faith? Do you want to know what's just as important as starting the journey of faith? That is finishing the journey of faith. It's not enough to start believing, but we must end believing. Even on the final mile of their earthly journey, the final mile of the way, those in Hebrews chapter number 11 embraced and confessed the promises of God. The very last mile of the way, as they lay on their deathbed, they believed and confessed, even though they did not receive them as promised to them, they died embracing them and confessing them and believing God. They could see those promises still afar off. And they were completely convinced and persuaded of those promises of God. And should I have a deathbed and Christ still has not returned, I fully anticipate with my last breath, still believing that Jesus Christ will return. I pray that I still believe that. I believe that I will still believe that. That is my desire, is to die confessing that the promises of God are true and amen. They confessed that not only the promises of God were true, they confessed not only that they could see the promises of God far off, they not only died believing, but they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. Not just in this new land of promise, as you see in verse number 9. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. They're not just talking about this land of promise that they have yet to fully attain, but they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Our text says they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims and that they did not belong here. They confessed that they were pilgrims and did not plan on staying here. They were expecting to move on. They were not ashamed to admit these things. They were not ashamed to confess that they were out of place here, that this is not their home. They were not ashamed to confess that they were on a journey to a sacred and a holy place. For Christmas 2019, I believe, we gave everyone their own copy of Pilgrim's Progress. And if you have not yet read that Christian classic, dig it out, find it, and I urge you to do so. Pilgrim's Progress is a wonderful allegory of the Christian journey. This morning I want us to consider some of the characteristics of a stranger and a pilgrim. The characteristics of a believer who is a stranger and a pilgrim. And I don't have any particular order for these things that I'm going to give you. They're going to be completely random order, no logical order, just random thoughts from the Scripture. But I want to give you some characteristics of the stranger and pilgrim on the earth. First of all, let me say that Jesus is their example. Jesus is our example. Luke chapter number 9, the Gospel of Luke chapter number 9, verses 57 and 58. Jesus is the example to the pilgrim and stranger. Luke chapter 9, 57 and 58. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now, I want to make clear this morning what I am saying. I am not suggesting that we, like Jesus, should not have a home. I'm not suggesting that we, like Jesus, should not have a bed or a pillow. I'm not suggesting that. But what I am saying is that when Jesus came here nearly 2,000 years ago, this was not his home. He did not plan on staying. He was in many respects a stranger in a strange land. He was on a journey from the cradle to the cross and then back to heaven. He had no intention of staying here permanently. While many people did leave houses and lands and families to follow and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, Peter said, we have left all and followed thee. While many people did leave homes and did leave lands and families to follow and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, it certainly was not a requirement that you leave your home and your land and your family to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is a requirement is that we do not become attached to the things of this earth, that we forget are temporary. It's not required that you leave your home and leave your property and leave your family to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is a requirement that you do not become attached to these things. It is a requirement that you realize that they are temporary. What is the requirement is that we do not become so attached to the things of this world that we pour into them our love and our affection and all of our attention. That's required of us. That we do not become so attached that we pour into them our love and our affection and all of our attention. What is a requirement is that we do not become so attached to the things of this world that we forget that true treasure is laid up by us in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. That is a requirement. That we realize true treasure is laid up by us in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt. a pilgrim moving through this life should cast off any weight that would hinder him, any sin that would hinder him in his journey and in his mission, just as Jesus did. He cast off anything that would hinder him in his earthly ministry. A home and a bed, a nice pillow from Mike, you know. Some of you will get that. Would have hindered the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a ministry of constantly moving from village to village, from town to town, from place to place. The ministry of Christ was constantly on the move. And a home and property to take care of and all of that would have been a hindrance to him. The Apostle Paul did not have a wife. He wanted a wife, but he did not have one because it would have been a hindrance, he believed, to his ministry. The Apostle Paul was also constantly on the move. And so Jesus is our example of a stranger and a pilgrim. He came here and he was not attached or tied down or hindered by the things of this world so that he might carry out his ministry. And again, I'm not telling you to sell all, but I am telling you not to get attached to these things, to where they hinder your ministry and your service to God. You are a stranger here. You are a pilgrim. You are passing through. This is not permanent at all. Number two, characteristics of strangers and pilgrims. Their strength for the journey, because it is a journey. It's why we're called pilgrims. The strength for the journey is in God. Look, if you will, Psalm 84. Psalm 84. One who is on a journey must have strength for that journey. Because that journey will take a believer through many difficult places and many difficult times. Psalm chapter 84. Verses 5, 6, and 7. Now what we're going to read here is David talking about a physical journey, okay, to the physical house of God, to the temple. Psalm 84, verse 5. Watch, listen. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passes through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. You see here that these pilgrims on a journey to Zion to appear before God, a physical earthly journey. The psalmist is no doubt writing about those making their way to the temple for worship, traversing over rough roads and trudging through dry and dark valleys. The word Baca means weeping, a valley of weeping. He talks about their journey through the valley of weeping as they make their way to Zion to appear before their God. But we are making a similar journey to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, is what the Bible says. We have a Mount Zion, a city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and we will one day appear before our God. And that journey takes us over many, many rough roads, and it takes us through many dark and deep and difficult valleys. It takes us through the valley of tears many times over as we journey to Mount Zion, to the heavenly city of God, to appear before our God. That journey takes us through many deep and dark valleys and many valley of tears, over many rough roads. But our strength, as it says here, is in God. And His ways are in our hearts. And we are passing through, as the text says, passing through the valley. And in those valleys, we can be refreshed. We can be refreshed. I'll read it again. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca or Tears makes it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. The dreariest part of our journey, we can be strengthened and refreshed because the ways of God are in our hearts. And on our journey, we go from strength to strength. You say, well, what's that mean? Well, everyone here knows what payday to payday means. Right? Do many of you live payday to payday? That means on Friday afternoon, when your paycheck hits your bank account, the bank account is up. And every day after that, it slowly goes down. Tuesday it's down, Wednesday it's down, Thursday it's rock bottom, all right? Friday morning it might be in the negative, but then Friday afternoon it goes back up when that paycheck hits the bank. And on this journey, our strength slowly seeps away day after day, day after day, as we journey over these rough roads and through these valley of tears, as we journey through dark times, our strength slowly seeps away. And just the time we need it again, God fills us back up with more strength. And we start off again with great strength. And then it slowly, slowly sleep seeps away. Just like that tire on your vehicle that needs pumped up every 3 or 4 days. All right. Job said, if I speak of strength, lo, he is strong. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27 to 31. Isaiah 40, 27 to 31 says this. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. The stranger and pilgrim, his example is the Lord Jesus Christ, and his strength is from God. As he traverses over troublesome roads and dangerous paths, as he goes through dark, deep, depressing valley filled with tears, God's ways are in his heart, and he can find strength, and he can find rejoicing in the Lord God. Number three, the stranger and pilgrim, the believer, the Christian, on this journey through this earth, through this life, they keep the promises of God in view. Hebrews 11:13. We read it. We don't need to go there. We read it. If you want to go there, you can. But we read it in our text. They keep the promises of God in view. They saw through the eyes of faith the promises of God. They saw them. That's why they pressed on. Listen, this is common. I believe it must be common to all men. Now, you understand, when I say men in the sermon, I'm talking about mankind, all right? I'm not dissing the women or disrespecting the women at all, okay? Understand that. I feel I have to give that clarification a couple times a year, okay? But all men, I believe, need something to look forward to keep them pressing on. For the working man or woman, see, I'm going to throw a woman in there just to... Because if I said for the working man, some of you would misunderstand me. For the working man or woman, many times, what is it? It's the weekend. Right? That's what pushes them forward. The weekend. Many people look forward to the weekend. For the spiritual man who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, you know what it is? It's the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day that all week we look forward to the Lord's day. If we're a spiritual man who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, we look forward to the gathering of the saints. For the tired man, it's bedtime. Oh, how many times have I got out of bed? Before I even left the room, I was looking forward to getting back in bed. I admit I am one that makes yummy noises when I crawl into bed. It's my happy place. I love to sleep. For the schoolboy, it's summer vacation. For the young child, it's Christmas. For the worn out, it's vacation. For the lonely, it's family. For the stranger and pilgrim, it's the promises of God that he so looks forward to. It's that better country. It's that heavenly country. That city prepared for us by God. That's what we look forward to. That's why we press on. That's why we keep going. It's not just a weekend or holiday or vacation. It's not just nighttime, bedtime. It's the promises of God why we press on day after day, week after week, year after year. We keep pressing on for the promises of God that we keep our eyes on. The stranger and pilgrim, it's the eternal reward, the heavenly inheritance that he looks for and he longs for. For the stranger and pilgrim, it's eternal rest and continual joy that he longs for and that he keeps in view. Amen. For the stranger and pilgrim, it's the completeness of salvation. I mean the removal of all sin and temptation that he keeps in view. Brother, sister, I can't tell you how many times I've said I can't wait for eternity to get rid of this old sinful flesh, to get rid of temptation, to be rid of those sins that so easily beset me and dog my trail. For the stranger and pilgrim, it's the promises that he keeps in view, the thing that he keeps in view is those words that I have longed for my entire life, from my youth, I've had a great desire to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." And to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. The stranger, the pilgrim, has many wonderful, beautiful promises of God that he keeps in view and that causes him to keep his face toward his heavenly Zion. Number four, the stranger and pilgrim on this earthly journey, they pray to God to lead them and to go with them. And they speak to one another about the journey. You know, Moses, go to Exodus chapter 33 if you have a Bible. Moses began his journey with the children of Israel as strangers and pilgrims. I mean, they had been in Egypt for 400 years. They had no land. They had a promise, but they were strangers. And they were absolutely pilgrims. And they began that journey. Moses and the children of Israel began that journey by pleading the presence of God to go with them and that they might know the way of God. And strangers and pilgrims on this earth, they do exactly that. They pray for God to go with them and for God to lead them through this journey, through these perilous times and through these dark valleys. They ask God to lead them and to guide them and to be with them and to show them the way. Exodus chapter 33, verse number 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom will thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou also hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee. Now Moses and the children of Israel are getting ready to start this journey. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, Moses said back to God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses, as he began his journey as a stranger and a pilgrim, he said, God, I don't want to go if you do not go with me. I don't want to go if you do not lead me. I don't want to go if I cannot know your way. God said, I'll go with you. Moses said, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. I don't want to go. I need you to go with me. And we as strangers and pilgrims, we want the presence of the Lord with us every day as we journey through these treacherous times and places and these dark valleys. We want the presence of God with us, and we want to know that God is leading us by His providence, by His grace, that He is leading us. The psalmist prayed for God to lead him in truth and light, that they might be led up to the holy hill of God, the psalmist said. Lead us in truth and light. Lead us by your word to thy holy hill. He said that God's word was a lamp to his feet and a light to his path, which means he's on a journey. He's walking a journey. He's walking a path. Strangers and pilgrims, as they move forward in their journey to the heavenly Zion, pray for the presence of God. They pray for his word of truth to lead them and to light their path. Jeremiah mentions a time that the people would ask the way to Zion, and their faces thitherward, inviting others to join them as they seek to join themselves to God. A true believer greatly desires to be led by God on this journey, and a true believer greatly desires to be led in truth and in light on this journey. And a true believer of God greatly desires that others would join him on the journey. And a true believer enjoys to speak of the destination as he travels. Anyone that's traveled on a vacation with children, I'm not talking about real young children, you know, 10, 11, there's the excitement. There's the excitement along the way, the excitement of the destination. Are we there yet? Are we almost there? The stranger and pilgrim on this journey seeks God's leadership, seeks the light of His truth, seeks the presence of God. And a true believer enjoys inviting others and talking with others about the destination as he travels. Because it's where his heart is. It's where his affections are. It's where his citizenship is. It's where his eternal home is. It's where his reward and inheritance is. It's where many of his loved ones are. And most of all, it's where his Heavenly Father is. And it's where his Redeemer is. And he enjoys talking about the destination as he travels along the way. He enjoys talking with others about the way. And about the destination. Back in 1979, I believe it was, when my parents pulled us out of public school for a very good reason and put us into a Christian school. Back in 79, Christian schools were few and far between. And we traveled 45 minutes every day to this school. And I remember, it was back in 79, but I remember like it was yesterday. I was so excited. I was so excited because, you know, in the public school, I had a little Bible that I carried and I put in my locker. And I got ridiculed for that as a eighth grader. I got ridiculed for that. And I remember one incident in particular when I was late for class and I put my Bible on the top shelf and slam my locker. And if you slam a locker hard enough, you know what happens to it? It bounces back open. And some kids, classmates, saw my Bible in there, and they came into the class as class was gathering. They came into the class and just ridiculed me in front of the entire class about my Bible. So when I got word we were going to a Christian school, I was elated, and I said, and I thought, and I said out loud, I'll be with students who love to talk about the things of God. Boy, was I wrong. I was wrong. We won't go into that, but Christian schools, well, let's just not go there. I mean, I'm not against them, but everybody there is not a Christian. And in our school, in our case, our school, Christian schools are very hard to run. I'm off on a rabbit trail. Christian schools are very difficult, very expensive to run, very expensive. And the school that I went to, they decided that in order to gain students, in order to pay teachers, that they would open up the school to even public school rejects and people that have been kicked out of public schools and drug offenders and all that. And so we had a wide variety of terrible, terrible kind of people in our school. But I remember thinking, we'll talk about God. Listen, I believe that when I said this is where their heart is, and where their affections are, where their citizenship is, where their eternal home is, where their reward and inheritance is, where many of their loved ones are, where most of all their Heavenly Father and the Redeemer are. I think this is what Paul had in mind when he said in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist mentioned enjoying sweet counsel and conversation as the believers gathered together and made their journey in company to the house of God. David once reminisced of journeying to the house of God in great multitude with singing and praising and communicating to one another with a voice of joy. I'm suspicious of those that claim to be on their way to heaven, but do not enjoy the conversation and lifestyle from above. I'm suspicious of those that claim to be on their way to heaven and do not love the songs of Zion. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm suspicious of those who claim to be gladly on their journey to heaven, and yet they can find no time and have no desire for the people of God and the gathering of the church on the earth. I'm suspicious about that. Pilgrims, strangers on the earth, they want the presence of God. They want the leadership of God. They want God to guide them. They want the truth and light to shine upon their path. They want others to join them. And they enjoy talking about the destination on the way there. Number five. I conclude here. Strangers and pilgrims, they are not comfortable in this world. I just mentioned it recently. Lot was vexed daily, day by day, the Bible says. Lot was vexed. His righteous soul was vexed. We can all discuss what we think about Brother Lot, but he had a righteous soul, and it was vexed day by day. Well, what vexed his righteous soul? The filthiness, the Bible says, the filthiness that he heard and saw day by day. Psalm 120 has actually been called one of the pilgrim psalms. And whoever the psalmist may be, he was too vexed by dwelling among sinners. Woe is me, the psalmist says, that I sojourn in Meshach, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. I am for peace, but they are for war. Woe is me, because I dwell here among these people. Listen, only the wicked can be at home with the wicked. Only the wicked can enjoy the company of the wicked. And only the worldly can enjoy the company of the worldly. I use the word enjoy. We are often in the company of wicked, and we are often in the company of the worldly. But only the wicked can enjoy the company of the wicked. And only the worldly can enjoy the company of the worldly. The stranger and pilgrim is not at home here. He is not comfortable here. He is vexed at what he sees daily and what he hears. Woe is me that I in Meshach am, a sojourner so long, that I in tabernacles dwell, to Kedar that belong. My soul with him that hateth peace hath long a dweller been. I am for peace, but when I speak, for battles they are keen. My soul distracted mourns and pines to reach that peaceful shore, where all the weary are at rest and troublers vex no more. The stranger and pilgrim, the true believer, is not comfortable here. And they often say, like the psalmist, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove." Go to Jeremiah chapter 9. "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest." The Apostle Paul, you know, he was conflicted. He greatly desired to depart this world to be with Christ. Oh, the Apostle Paul was greatly conflicted. And you can see that when he says that he wanted so much to depart to be with Christ. But he realized that the Philippian believers needed him. They needed his care. They needed his teaching. They needed him. But all he desired to be with Christ. I close with Jeremiah chapter 9. Verses 1 through 7. "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." Now watch this. "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men." Well, what is that? That's a stopover for men on a journey. Wayfaring men. That's a stopover, a brief stopover for men that are on a journey. "All that I had in the wilderness, a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. But they are not valued for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil." The believer goes from grace to grace and from strength to strength. The evil goes from evil to evil. "And they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, every one his neighbor. Trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant. And every neighbor will walk with slanders, and they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, and in his heart he layeth his weight. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be adulterers." The stranger and pilgrim is not comfortable here. His soul is vexed day by day in the filthiness of what he sees and hears. And like Jeremiah, "Oh, that I had in the wilderness a dwelling of wayfaring men, that I could leave these people." The stranger and pilgrim is not comfortable here. May God add his blessing to the teaching and preaching of his word. May God bless his little flock at Bethaven. And may God help us as strangers and pilgrims to make our way through this life in a way that is pleasing and honoring to Him. Let us pray.